Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. Someone's stirring their coffee extremely loudly out there. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Ben.
How are you to this week?
I am to this week good this week, and thank you in the weeks. Thank you. How are you this week?
I'm okay.
Good.
And we'll leave it at that. Peter,
yeah.
Before we go any further with our video game podcast, we always have a sponsor at the start and the end of the show.
We do.
We get a new one every week because for some reason they don't want to stay and I don't know why.
Why not?
Well, maybe we'll find out. Peter, you've got the ad read in front of you there.
I have. This week on this video game podcast, we've got an actual video game sponsoring us.
Whoa.
An upcoming video game in 2020.
No, we don't.
Are you aware of the upcoming Watch Dogs Legion?
I am.
The post-Brexit
simulation.
The simulation in which you can play as any character off the street, whether it's a London gangster or an old lady feeding the pigeons in the park.
Right.
You know about that game?
I know about that game.
Okay, well, we're sponsored by the... It's an exclusive...
What?
The Switch port.
Yeah?
They're porting it to Nintendo Switch. But it has to come under the Nintendo umbrella still.
Right.
So... they're making just a couple of changes. Coming soon, 2020, Watch Dogs Guijin. Okay?
Okay.
You can still play as any character.
Right.
But you have to play as a sort of green ectoplasmic version of them.
Okay.
So, you know, you can still run around with a vacuum cleaner on your back, but you're also able to slip through prison bars and you get dissolved by puddles.
Right. Does that not... has that not added a significant amount of development time on for the people at Ubisoft?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because they can just, you could just fall through a sewer grate.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be catastrophic, actually. I think it may have doomed the game. But that's why they've asked to be our sponsor this week, because they really need a big marketing push.
Okay.
So,
and they can't afford anyone other than us?
No.
Right.
No, because they're spending that much money on
it.
Adding Guiji content to Watch Dogs.
Okay.
So coming soon, the Switch version of Watch Dogs Legion, Guijin. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I look forward to that with bated breath, or I would if that were not a lie! You idiots, you fell for it! You always, always, always fall for it.
Why would you believe that? That's redonkulous.
You guys are
Donkey Kong.
You guys are stupid. You're stupid guys.
Thick.
Thick boys and girls and others. Mm-hmm. No, I tell you who the real sponsors are, Peter.
Yeah? It's the thick boys and girls.
It's the thick boys and girls over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you support us there financially, you get not only the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting a worthy cause... but we're not worthy girls. But you also get to submit questions for the podcast.
True.
The minimum donation amount per month is $1, which is, I'm led to believe, not a lot of money.
Wow.
However, we do have other tiers, and obviously the more you give, the more we can afford to do. However, $1 a month, patreon.com/teamtriplejump, you get access to the, I'm losing my voice, you get access to the, you get access to the weekly podcast post. I usually put it up on a Tuesday, then I get the questions on a Wednesday, so you have about 24 hours to to submit questions. So thank you, big thank you to our patrons. They're the people who let us do the show we've got a question from Trevor Price Peter.
Trevor Price Peter asks, "Hi Ben and Peter." That's all one word as well.
Ben and Peter.
With game, it's all caps. With game announcing even more closures, does an all-digital future concern you? I personally like to keep my physical games collection growing and will be sad to see these stores go. Thanks for reading and have a sandwich.
I will, actually.
I will.
Thursday is sandwich day for me. I'm going to get a little meal deal because it's a busy day. We do the podcast and we do a live stream in the afternoon. It's a busy old day.
I'm going to have two sandwiches today, I think.
Two?
Because I'm having one at lunchtime. Going to get a meal deal.
Yeah.
But then I'm getting a train this
evening. What have you had for your tea?
I'm going to just have a quick sandwich because I've got to rush home, quickly just grab my bag and then go out.
This guy.
Yeah.
Sandwich boy.
Double sandwich day. So I will, Trevor. Thank you.
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Okay, that's good. What, do you think it's not going to go all digital in the next decade?
No, you say your thing first.
Well, I'm part of the problem in that, like, I used to go to game all the time. Now, if I want a physical, which I still do often, I just buy it on Amazon.
For the whole class, please.
I just buy it on Amazon.co.uk. You know,
you
somewhat unethical mega corporation.
Problem, aren't
yeah,
you?
I am genuinely.
Well, it's that,
problem.
And you can't find a game really anymore.
No,
I don't know
true.
Where the one in Newcastle has gone, but I went looking for it a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't there anymore.
It's in Eldon Square, isn't it?
Not anymore.
Is it not?
Or at least it's not where it was.
Oh,
I went looking for it. It's now some Samsung store that's trying to pretend it's an Apple store because they've got the same sort of minimalist layout.
I feel like it was there around Christmas time when I went Christmas shopping in Eldon Square.
Couldn't find it.
Oh my God.
I remember where it was, but it wasn't there.
Just up near the, just for everyone at home, just up at the top of the escalators.
Yeah.
Near that statue with the man with pigeons.
Oh yeah, if you're coming in, yeah, next to the Pigeon Man. Yeah. And if you come in from the entrance where it's near the McDonald's, on that pedestrianized street with all the shops, and it's got the university at the end of it.
Mm.
You turn left, you go in there, and you literally just walk in a straight line, and it's, at the top of the escalators, just beyond Pigeon Man. Nothing there.
What?
It's gone.
Oh my God, this is one of the victims then.
Don't know where it's gone.
Trevor Price's question.
This predates the perhaps troubling news about game. My main point that before we start talking about an all-digital future,
And after we've talked about the local directions and the to local, our
nearest, yeah, if people want to not find game in Newcastle,
yeah.
One thing I would say is that game's business practices have been bad for a very long time.
Yeah.
They've been in this position before, and they somehow got out of it. I'm not saying they're going to get out of it this time.
Mm.
I wouldn't say that there's a correlation here between a decline in physical retail sales. I would just say that game charge way too much and they don't have good sales, and for some reason they have something of a monopoly on, like, sort of limited and special editions for UK things along with Amazon.
The two of them just sort of share
limited editions, but I've not bought a game from Game for years because it's too expensive.
Yeah, it is. I think that's why I stopped. I don't relish the idea of actual human beings losing their jobs.
No, of course.
But I'm not implying that you do either. But
I do. I live off the misery.
But just on a very personal basis, I won't really miss game. And that's not just because I buy online. Like, if there was an alternative high street store, I would, check it out and see if it was cheap. I still go to CEX sometimes.
Well, that's what I've got here.
Yeah.
CEX is thriving off physical game sales. I know they deal exclusively in secondhand stuff, but yeah, I think you're right.
Mm.
I think the demise of game, it's sad for the people who've lost their jobs, but it's sort of inevitable. I know GameStop in the US are having the same problem, and from what I understand, having obviously never been in a GameStop, is that they have a similar issue where they just charge these corporate mandated prices that people can get their games cheaper elsewhere.
Yeah.
And of course, digital sales are going to continue to increase, but I think there will always be a market for physical purchases. I like
physicals.
To have physical games.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason I have digital games is either because we get review code or we get press code, and they tend not to send out physical copies anymore. Mm-hmm. It's usually a digital code. Or it's, as is the case with Resident Evil, Resi 6, which I've been playing through at home, and you've been playing Resi 4, it just goes on sort of a crazy sale.
Yeah.
And I would never... I've maybe once in my entire life pre-ordered a game digitally because they are expensive.
Yeah.
The only reason I would ever buy digital is if it's on a sale or if it's the only way to get hold of a game.
Mm.
But otherwise, I'm physical all the way. And I don't think there's... that's on my Tinder profile.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any... there's anything to worry about in terms of physical games disappearing anytime soon. I think it's just a business that was poorly run, sadly, going under.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of us grew up with game. I will never forgive them for getting rid of GameStation, because the GameStation in Banbury, Peter, they had a whole little display case that used to sell Game Boy games. And way after the PS3 came out, they still had a huge stand selling PS1 games as well.
No.
And it was really fun to go in and look at those. And then Game bought them.
And
Game
said no.
Was just down from them in Castle Quay Shopping Centre.
Yeah.
And that used to be an electronics boutique. Don't even get me started on that.
Oh, my God.
Used to be an EB Games. And then they turned into Game. Game Station was literally about 50 yards away up the same
and
thing.
Game decided to monopolise
the high street.
And they
just shut them down. Oh. Used to go into Banbury. Used to get to go to both of those and go and have a browse.
Yeah, I used to go into York on the weekends. And there were two games there. I think one of them used to be something else. And Game were like... No. This high street ain't big enough for the two of us.
It sucks because Game monopolized a lot of stuff in the UK and then was just run poorly. And now it's going to start to disappear.
That's the worst thing about a monopoly, isn't it? When like they monopolize something and then do it so badly that they run themselves into the ground and then there's no one left.
Mm-hmm.
Just CEX. Who don't sell new copies of anything. So those will dry up eventually. If physical games stop being made, which I think you're right, it's not maybe never going to happen totally. But you can't. It's only a recycling point, effectively. Yeah. So
if you want to listen to early 2000s new metal, CEX, that's where you go.
You're right.
You know those kids you went to secondary school with who had like the scene kids and the emo kids and the goth kids with their haircuts and their piercings and their metal? That's where they've all gone.
They work there now.
They're all in CEX. Every single one. If you are or were an emo goth scene kid, why aren't you? You're late.
Yeah.
Get to work. CEX is expecting you.
If you're unemployed and thinking, oh, I don't even know where I should apply. Apply to CEX.
CEX, they need you.
They're looking for you.
They're looking for bodies.
People sometimes recognize us in CEX, don't they? Staff.
Yeah, that happened to me the other... I was on the phone with a friend.
Mm.
I went in to buy a copy of Alan. Insulation.
Yes.
And... while I was on the phone, I got recognized by two of the staff who were serving me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, my friend said to me, how much did you pay them for that to happen while I was on the phone? Like, a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a disproportionate number, I guess, because it's a game shop for the most part. So
makes
people
sense,
there
doesn't it?
Are gamers. But yeah, we get recognized in CEX more than most places.
More than anyone, more than Tesco.
Yeah.
I've never been recognised in Tesco. CEX, though.
More than Waitrose.
Whoa, Waitrose. Got to love those old biddies.
M&S food section.
This is for you, old biddies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trevor, for your question. I hope that gives you some answers. Yeah. Basically, game is not great.
No.
And that's why they're starting to
but
go.
But physicals are, and we hope.
Physical copies are good.
Mong lay they miv.
I'm sorry, you can't say that first word.
I just realised that first word was a bad one after I said it.
That's okay. It was an honest mistake. There was no...
Well, it was at first, and then I deliberately repeated it.
You did
like
repeat
people
it.
Do when they get tongue-tied, but...
You doubled down and...
On both occasions, I did not realise.
Peter would like to take this opportunity to apologise
for
to,
using the M-word.
To everybody for that, the M-word. Yes, let's move on
to
a fun...
Very quickly.
Here comes the train with the What We Playing carriage.
Oh, good.
Peter.
Yes.
What are you playing?
I'm continuing to play Resident Evil 4.
Are you?
Yes. It's a good game, that Resi 4. Really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I streamed it on time recording on Monday, and I ended up streaming for like an extra 45 minutes just because I didn't really want to stop playing.
Look at that.
Did a 2-hour, 45 minute stream.
You're crazy.
On Monday. Yeah, it was
You're
pretty
crazy.
Guy. Yeah, yeah. But it's just very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a bit. Funny looking, the HD version that I'm playing on PS4, some of the textures, they have just not up-resed. So which looks even worse than it did, in the original build of the game, because everything around this like muddy texture that's right in the focus is really sharp and crisp, or relatively. Mm. And then you've just got this like one texture that they've not bothered to do up. You know, it's very strange. But for the most part, looks good, plays well now that I've got the new controls in my head. And it's just it's a good story. It's a good setting. Some good spooky monsters in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've picked up Ashley now.
Great.
Oh, boy.
What a treat.
Yeah, it gets really fun from here on in. But yeah, just continuing to enjoy that, really.
Excellent.
Not been playing much else.
Okay.
That is my answer.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
What have you been playing?
I'll tell you. Yes. I've also been streaming. I hopped back into some Stardew Valley.
Mm.
I sort of forgot where I left off. I like doing Stardew Valley streams, as someone pointed out in the chat. It's sort of my in-between games game.
Yeah.
Where I'm not really sure what to play next. I'll just stick on some Stardew. And we all listen to the nice, chilled-out vibes,
mm.
and we get cracking on. Lots of people have said that they've tried Stardew Valley in the wake of my streams and have found it to be an extremely soothing and time-consuming game, which you can attest to because you nearly lost your fiancé to it several times.
I did, yeah. One of the only games that's managed that Persona 5.
Persona 5, yeah.
Pretty much it, yeah.
That was fun to play. They've finally, the PS4 gets the content patches way after anyone else,
mm-hmm.
It seems anyway. So there, you can get a fish pond now.
Oh, wow.
And apparently you can farm fish from it and stuff beyond the usual just sort of using the rod. So I started construction on that, and that's very exciting.
Chop the fingers off, sell them to Birdseye.
Yes.
Delicious.
It took me a minute there.
Fish fingers.
Captain there. Birdseye, he'll be by. He'll be birds by.
He'll be by.
Help. He'll come by.
He'll be by.
He'll be by to buy the whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's Stardew Valley. Played a few things at home last week.
Mm.
I talked about all of the platinum trophies I was earning
in various
terrible games. Mm. I did get another one on Monday,
okay. But
I want to sort of update you on the total from that week.
Mm-hmm.
That last week that we did the podcast, I got 17.
Oh,
that week.
Wow.
I have three more lined up, but they're slightly more, substantial ones rather than do it in half an hour.
Is that maybe the most you've ever got in a week, 17?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I got 8 last year, full stop.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yes. I am now up to, I was on 149. Then I got the Outer Worlds for my 150th. And then I got, obviously, I got Star Wars and Detroit, and then a load of crap ones. And then my 160th, I got After Party.
Oh, yeah.
So I played that through, got the platinum in that, did that. I'm now up to 168.
Okay.
Now, my 169th trophy, obviously, is an important one.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of
Leisure Suit Larry.
Platinuming, already done that one. I already did that one. I'm thinking of platinuming The Shape-Shifting Detective.
Oh, okay.
Which is another one of those terrible FMV games from the same company that did Late Shift, which I talked about last week. This one is bloody wild. It's F-word wild, this.
What?
It goes, it doesn't explain the premise at all. You just sort of choose via DVD-style menus. It's far more involved than the other Late Shift one, which just plays out like a film and you make choices at certain times.
Mm.
This is, go to this room, talk to this person. Go to this room, talk to this person, move on to next chapter. It's all just sort of looping footage, like DVD menu footage in the background of house while you go from room to room. There's been a murder, and it's not explained why, are a detective that can shapeshift into the people that you interview.
Oh, okay.
So you can then go to other people around the house as them and see if there's new information.
You know when we did that murder yesterday?
Yeah, tell us about that alibi we made up.
Yeah.
But it devolves into this weird situation where you can just approach one of the male characters and just say things like, I can't even repeat it, just vulgar, sexually explicit, let's do a fun sex time together, and just keep pursuing it until he goes, no, I don't want to.
Oh,
and it's like, what? This is so irrelevant. What is this? And then there's talk on the radio of there being aliens. The acting is the worst, just the worst.
Right.
It's so awful.
Okay.
But I'll probably get the platinum in it.
Good.
And that'll be my 169th. My 170th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and make, what's it called? You know. you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Hidden agenda. That's a good one. I like Hidden Agenda. But that is pretty much all I played, apart from still a bit more Resi 6 at home. Finished the Jake Sherry campaign. Mm-hmm. That game's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's so not survival horror.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. It's so bad. But that's what I played.
Good. Got a question here from Sean X Fury.
Fury?
For you to read out.
This is what Sean X Fury says.
Yeah.
Hello, Stone Cold Peter Austin and Benny the Bean Potter.
Oh, What's that one? That's his surname. Is a nickname that we do all the time.
The Bean.
Benny the Bean Potter.
Don't know how I feel about that, Sean.
No?
Let's say World War III came to be and you both were drafted.
Oh.
Uncle Drafted. You're told this war is only going to be fought with video game weapons and you are each allowed to pick one weapon from any video game ever. What do you pick? Personally, I might have to go with the Daedric Crescent Blade from The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind because it's my all-time favourite weapon. Thanks, boys, and keep up the great work. Thank you, Sean, and Fury, who I'm assuming is a separate person.
I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me your all-time favourite video game weapon. I mean, immediately,
yeah.
I'm just going to say, if World War III happens, I don't think they're going to be drafting people. I think they're just going to launch lots of missiles.
Yeah, I think we're all just going to die real fast.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not fighting someone else's war.
No.
Especially over the grounds that if World War III is going to erupt over the current political climate, I'm not. It's not like an injustice scene in World War One or Two.
They would have to just lock me up in military prison.
If they
tried to draft me, I would say no.
I'm not fighting over oil. You can get in the bin.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Yeah. But we're talking hypothetically here. Because this is also a world where the war can only be fought with video game weapons.
Mm.
So to entertain that ridiculous notion for one moment.
Yes.
I really like the Hammer of Dawn in Gears of War. I don't know if you've seen that because you've not really played your Gears games.
No.
It's basically just a massive orbital space laser.
Oh. You're going to run around with that on your back?
No, but you, as Marcus, you have just a little tiny targeting gun in your hand and you just aim it at people and the little laser comes out and you go like beep, beep, and then it just goes down from the sky. Now, problem with that is you can only use it in certain areas where you can get signal.
Right.
If the satellite is overhead. So that would be a minor issue.
It's like being on O2.
Yeah, definitely. Just like that. So I do have a backup here, which is that a bit of a weird game for me to mention.
Okay.
Judge Dredd, Dredd versus Death.
Right.
Which was, I think, an Xbox exclusive, original Xbox exclusive.
Okay.
Certainly that era.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd carries a weapon called the Lawgiver in that, which is just the size of a sort of handgun sci-fi weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But it has 6 different modes on it.
Oh.
For all of your law-giving needs.
Yeah.
Got them here.
Go on.
Standard.
Yes.
Armor piercing.
Okay.
Ricochet.
I like, he's my favorite wrestler.
Shoot round corners with that.
Okay.
Incendiary.
Yeah.
High X.
What does that mean?
High explosive, I think.
Oh, okay. You don't just get them sort of drugged up.
High X. No.
Oh, okay.
And heat seeking.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a pretty versatile weapon.
So you could enable heat seeking and just fire it into the sky. Actually, it might come back down on you, mightn't it?
Possibly, yeah.
That's not good.
If I'm warm.
Yeah, you might be
quickly
warm.
Fan my face before I shoot it.
Or just wrap yourself in tinfoil.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
I did have to quickly, because I've not, as I say, it's an Xbox game, so I've not played it for a long time. I had to quickly look up what all the modes were, because I could only remember some of them. Mm. And as you switch through them, he sort of says in a really deep voice, like, Ricochet. And stuff.
But, do you reckon you'd do that as well?
Oh, yeah, I would say it every time.
Okay.
But I had to quickly look at like a walkthrough or like a game fact to find those. And there was a little line for each one of those modes. And one of them, the incendiary one said, apparently incendiary is good for fighting undead and vampires. But from what I can see, all it does is create undead and vampires that walk around on fire. So that doesn't sound very fun at all.
No, you don't want that.
No, I don't think I'd use that one.
Flaming zombies.
Yeah. Ooh. There was no need to swear about it.
Flipping zombies.
So that's what I would probably get. The Lawgiver. Okay. From a slightly obscure Xbox game, just because it's very versatile.
It's a good idea. And you get to do the cool voice as well.
Ricochet, yeah.
Ricochet.
What about you?
I would go with a Time Splitter's Future Perfect weapon, a weapon that my friends hated in local multiplayer.
I think I know which one it's going to be.
Called the Mag Charger.
Yeah.
Now, the Mag Charger has a thermal scope.
That's a good shout.
And you can shoot through walls. Mm. So what I would do, maybe from my military prison cell, is crouch down in the corner, look through my scope, and just shoot enemies from very far away without being able to be shot at all, because I've got the gun that can shoot through walls and has a thermal scope, so but I can see them.
You wouldn't have to be in military prison if you were willing to shoot people.
Well, maybe that would be the only condition.
Right.
Is I'm not going to fight your war. Okay, go to prison then. Right. Well, I mean, I don't want to fight. I don't want to get hurt.
Right. But if you put me in a safe prison.
I'll stay in the cell. Take some time off for good behavior, perhaps. Mm. That's not how it works in military prison, is it? You don't get time off for good behavior.
No.
I'd probably do that because it allows me to be safe, brave, and a coward all at the same time.
Yeah, okay. Well, I could do that too. If I just stick a little scope on my Hammer of Dawn, I can be inside and shooting out the window.
That's true. You can't be in a bunker, though, because you won't have any signal.
No.
So you'll have to have a little aerial that sort of bends out through a hole in the wall and goes up.
Or just plug it in with like an Ethernet cable into the building's network.
Exactly. We could just do the podcast while we're doing it. We could live stream while, you know, when we take it in turns to play Beyond Two Souls. And then you have a little go on your Hammer of Dawn. Mm. And I turn around for a little bit and shoot through the wall with my mag charger.
Patrons could submit questions and also white chicken feathers like they used to do in World War II if you didn't go, or World War One. I think it was World War II if you didn't go to war.
Oh, that's nice.
You were a coward.
That's a nice thing to
it's a really nice thing to do
for someone.
To pacifists.
What about donate, if you donate 50 bits, I'll shoot the next person in the Wilson. We could do that. We could do tiered rewards.
The next,
the next enemy.
Just the next one you see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 2,000 bits and I will Fortnite dance.
Yeah.
When I kill someone.
50 World pounds, War III. And I'll read them a bedtime story.
Yes.
After I've killed them. I'll sit over their body.
That's right. Nighty night.
And just do the tiger who came to tea.
I am sorry and I am here.
Yes.
Excellent. Anyway, World War III is not going to happen, but it's good to know that we'd be safe with our video game weapons. Peter, from one weird situation to another.
Yeah.
It is time for a segment that we call Bizarre Headlines. Yeah. It's time for Bizarre Headlines.
It is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's time for Weird News.
Yes, it is.
If you're listening to the audio version, I don't know, have you ever listened to the audio version of the podcast, Peter?
Of our podcast?
Not a podcast.
I have listened to an audio podcast before, yes.
Right.
Not one of ours, though.
But in the middle of ours, that's where the ad break goes.
Right.
That's put in by Acast, and it always goes, bi-da-da-da-dum. Just so you know that it's no longer the podcast. It's a little ad break.
Just in case we suddenly went, coming soon to...
Even though it doesn't sound like us, and it's probably, it might be a woman.
Yeah.
We've had, recently, we've had adverts for The Guardian. Oh. That's a fun one. We get adverts for, I think we get adverts for Sky sometimes. It's all very exciting. I'd be interested to know what American listeners get, or if it's just the same for everybody. But then when it's done, it goes, ba-do-do-do-dum, and then I go, it's weird news. And that's how it always goes.
Right.
It's time for weird news. Bididididum. If you're watching the video version, you're almost missing out a bit because you missed the bididididum.
Yeah. Do you think it's tailored ads for the viewer?
That's what I'm unsure about. We don't get to choose them. With Poddy, it's we get to choose. Mm. When we get adverts, we get to choose which ones, whether or not we want to run them. But with Acast, we just set a timestamp.
Yeah.
Which is as soon as it's time for weird news.
And an ad happens.
Bididididum. It's usually a couple.
Oh, okay.
They're British adverts, which makes a difference because we've had some weird adverts on Podiots before.
If they're British, they probably are tailored to the viewer.
Maybe they
are.
Listener. Let us know. I'd be interested.
Because I think I've mentioned once before in the office, it wasn't on any video, but I once saw a screenshot that someone had taken on the internet where on a Christian forum, it was like Baptist Church or something.
Oh, yes.
Someone had done a post on a thread saying, I am absolutely appalled that there is gay pornography adverts on this website. And they're like, they're tailored ads
based on your cookies and search history, my dude. Whoops. Talk about dobbing yourself in.
Oh, talk about knobbing yourself in.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. Tell me your weird news.
It continues.
Oh.
Bethesda's fix for stolen Fallout 76 inventories is generous and complicated.
It certainly is.
Fallout 76 is still doing things. Do you know about this?
I do know about this, yeah.
Okay. Players will be given a clone of their pre-theft character and will have to arrange a meetup with Bethesda for a merge. Right?
Yes.
We all following so far? This is according to PCGamer.com. Andy Chalk, Charlie Chalk's brother, I imagine.
Surely.
A number of Fallout 76 players found themselves stripped down to their skivvies last month, courtesy of a hack employed by unscrupulous wastelanders that enabled them to swipe entire inventories from other players. Bethesda was able to fix the exploit fairly quickly, but restoring lost gear was another matter entirely. For one reason or another, Bethesda wasn't able to simply put replacement gear into players' packs.
Why would they?
Why is that not possible? And so it promised that it would figure out how to compensate players for their losses at some point down the road. The solution was revealed last week by Redditors, including Jedediah Jedi and Boavistero.
Love that guy.
Via Kotaku. And it's honestly quite a bit more complicated than I would have expected. Apparently, it really is impossible for Bethesda to restore lost inventory items because what it's doing instead is giving players clones of their pre-theft characters with modified names. Then there's a quote here. Once restored, this character will have the entire inventory of items, gear, and scrap, 100% of your stuff, that it possessed on December the 20th, 2019. An email sent to impacted players said. In addition, we will be providing you with 8,250 atoms.
Whoa!
Specific number there. 8,253. Yeah. To help you in your adventures. That's not the end of the clunkiness, though. Players who want to merge their pre- and post-theft inventories, and I imagine most of them would, will have to request a secure trade transfer service with a Bethesda customer service agent who will meet them on a private server to swap all their stuff around. I think the compensation is more than fair, the article says. A bundle of 5,000 atoms goes for $40 on the Microsoft Store, so that's not nothing. And everyone gets all or nearly all of their gear back too. It's the wholly inefficient process required to make it all happen that I think is interesting. Some jerk with a script can steal all your stuff, but Bethesda, the big time game studio that actually makes Fallout 76, can't just pop it back in. And a character merge literally requires the digital equivalent of an off the books meetup with a guy in a dark alley behind Burger King. That's a little weird, right? Question mark. That's weird news.
It is.
It goes on to to say some stuff, but that's the end. Thank you, Andy Chalk, for a good write-up there.
He's right, though. What I like the most is that they can't just... They've got a copy of the character. They've got the inventory.
They can't just
drag and drop it into your character's inventory. They have to put it all in the backpack of a third party.
A digital employee.
Meets up with you and gives it to you in a secure location. It's so bizarre.
How weird would that be? You have to like get in touch with Bethesda and they're saying like, oh yeah, I'll meet you under the water tower in Bomb Town and swap your stuff back with you. How strange. And why are they not able to do that? Like they can provide... you know they did that what's that like premiere pack called
Fallout First.
Yeah, Fallout First. You get inventory items with that, don't you? Like, there's a couple of things that you get with that.
Yeah, they can definitely add stuff to your inventory. I mean, even when you buy stuff from the Atom Store, it assigns it to your account.
Yeah,
it's just.
I guess it's just maybe it's more of a logistical thing. Like, they would have to have like a whole database of like who you are, what you had before, and then have some sort of automated process that puts all those specific things into your inventory, as opposed to give everyone this bonus 4th of July firework item, which is, I guess, more it's blanket and
bizarre
easy to do, but it's still very strange.
So bizarre, and it's just not that engine. It's just that engine just doesn't work. Speaking of glitches, there was something I nearly brought, which was the Red Dead Redemption 2. On PC now has hackers for online.
Oh, okay.
And it ranges from people being able to walk up to you and drain money from your character to someone just appearing and spawning 50 bears in the middle of a town.
Right.
And just seeing what happens in this online server. People were spawning vehicles, just steamboats and stuff in the middle of towns. And it's all...
And meanwhile, there's people... Good, honest people trying to carry soup from one side of the
map to
the other.
Exactly, they just want to carry the soup or the stew or whatever it is from one side of the map to the other. But they can't, because another thing players were doing was spawning other players on them. So wherever they were, people were just going about their business in the map. Mm. They were just being just sucked to the location of wherever the hacker was. So I think people were being either brought all to one place so they could have their money stolen at the same time, or all brought to one place so they had to contend with 50 bears middle of... Saint Denis.
Mm.
People get really mad when I call it Saint Denis because they don't understand that I'm doing it ironically.
I've not played it.
It's meant to be Saint Denis.
Saint Denis.
And so I say Saint Denis, and people go, "No, no." It's like you should know by now. You should know by now. This is how we do it.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Without further ado,
Jemapple, Pierre,
Ooey. What? Okay.
Got this, a weird news there?
Yes, this is from Nintendo Life. We know that one.
Mm.
Nintendo to be awarded over $450,000 in court win against unofficial Mario Kart service.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, there's a picture of them.
Because they're a bit hard up, Nintendo, so...
Yeah. They're very... going to recycle the word from last week. They're very litigious, Nintendo, about their own IP. So you see there's a bunch of people dressed up as
Mario
a
live...
characters.
I thought you meant it was some digital thing.
No, so here we go. Nintendo has won an intellectual property infringement court case against Marimobility, I think is how it's meant to be pronounced, a company which has been offering unofficial Mario Kart-inspired go-kart services in Tokyo, Japan.
Marimobility sounds like a chapel service that has, like, wide aisles and a ramp at the altar.
Lots of ramps everywhere. You may have heard of this unofficial service before, originally going by the name of Maricar. The company was found guilty of infringing upon Nintendo's Mario Kart property thanks to the closeness of its name and the Mario character outfits given to customers in 2018. Like a stubborn child not wanting to go to bed, Maricar decided to ignore this ruling and continue to operate as usual just a month later. So I would say that Marimobility sounds far more like Mario than Maricar, which was the original name. Anyway, it continues. Mm. In more recent times, the service has rebranded itself under the name Street Kart, giving up on the practice of renting out Mario costumes and going out of its way to distance itself from Nintendo on its official website. Despite this, a new ruling has found the company guilty of property infringement once more.
Oh.
So in 2018, Nintendo was awarded 10 million yen, which is about $92,000, according to Inside and then via Kotaku, being very thorough with the reporting here.
Right.
Mari Mobility unsuccessfully appealed against this decision, with the latest court case now ordering it pay an increased sum of 50 million yen, approximately $458,000, which is quite the jump.
It is.
Just like it did in its recent court case win relating to the Wii Remote, Nintendo has said that it will continue to take necessary legal measures to protect its products and property. Mm. So we should probably expect the Mario outfits to be back in a few weeks' time. That's what it concludes.
Ah, oh, well, I mean, the fact that they had plenty of warning, I don't have a lot of sympathy for them.
No, I've got no sympathy. They went back, didn't they? They were told no.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, what are you going to do then?
I thought that might have been, you know, there was this like little like go-karting company somewhere in Suffolk.
Right.
Like, running, you know, where you get like little knockoff plumber boy costumes from the local
Princess
costume
Mango.
Shop. Yeah, exactly. And then Nintendo were like, no,
stop it.
A la J.K. Rowling, who I think quite infamously in like the mid-noughties once like, or at least like the publishing house like sued a primary school or something for doing like an official Harry Potter day, something like that.
Oh, it's
probably not quite got the details there, but you know, that happened.
See, in instances like that, I do feel bad for them, but because they're not profiting.
Yeah,
it's like people making fan games. I don't see that as an issue, really. It's just a tribute.
And they're not
to
taking
something
like any money away from the actual license owner,
no,
really.
Not at all. However, this...
They very much were told, no,
yep,
don't, and carried on doing it, and also tried to appeal, and as a result of the appeal, which was an unfounded appeal for sure,
yep,
it's called Mari Kart,
Mari Kart.
And as a result of that, the fine has gone up, and I think fair enough.
It's just so brazen that, because you're right, you would imagine it to be either some small go-karting service in Suffolk.
Yes.
Or, you know, some stag do or hen do bundle or whatever where Nintendo comes sniffing around and go, no, stop that. And they go, okay, we'll stop.
Sorry.
But to actually do it in Tokyo, in Japan, with Nintendo probably a few streets away is shockingly brazen.
Mm.
And presumably they made a lot of money given how much they were ordered to pay.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
They were, I don't know how laws work, but I don't think you can probably reasonably ask for more money than a business can actually pay, because then you're just, it's not so much a matter of, well, I don't want to kill the business, because you might want to kill the business, but you know, if you're asking for $458,000 and they've got $100,000, then what's the point? You're never going to see that money.
Yeah, just close the business.
Seems pointless.
Mm.
But yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Weird.
It just makes me think of like when you go to fairgrounds and there's just knockoff bouncy castles with crudely drawn Simpsons on the side of it.
Oh, so good. I went to that fair again in, what was it? Is it Whitley Bay?
Yeah.
Or is it, what was the other one? There's two.
Tynemouth and Whitley Bay.
Is it Whitley Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in Whitley Bay.
I went there last summer.
Yeah.
And that really frightening inflatable Simpsons thing is still
the thing
there.
I was thinking of specifically.
With Bart's face just...
Yeah. And Homer with like sort of four croquet hoops on his
croquet
head.
Hoops? My goodness,
semi-circles,
Peter.
Semi-circles or whatever.
Showing your age there, you time traveler.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's shocking. Honestly, you go to any fun fair in the UK.
Bart Simpson with seven Zulu spears.
I'm Bart Samson.
Yeah.
Bart Samson. Take it to the bank, boys. That's a Bart. Let's move on to a question here from Ern Arrowsmith.
Oh, he's still living in Mordor.
Still earning those arrows.
Mm. Oh, it's me.
It's
with
you.
The recent news that the Nintendo theme parks will be opening soon, are there any rides you'd love to see there? Mari Car.
Mario. Mari Mobility.
Or are any of the game franchises that you think would work well as theme parks? Why were you...
I'm just dancing.
You're just excited just about...
Just excited about Nintendo Land.
We have an audio description for
the blind.
The audio listeners.
I'm basically doing that dance that Charlie does from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when he's excited. He only does it like once.
Yeah.
Where he's sort of like punching the air a little bit, but he's also moving his shoulders back and forth.
Yeah. You look pretty hyped.
Do I look good?
Yeah, you look
is
great.
Is it a good move? Do you reckon I could attract females with this.
I think you could attract every kind of person.
That's extremely promising. Mm. Okay. Well, I'll keep working on it at home.
Well, before I knew that you were bringing Marimobility to your weird news, I did write that I'd quite like a little Diddy Kong Racing go-karting track, mm-hmm. just because I really like Diddy Kong Racing from Nintendo 64. Maybe also like you could do some sort of scary ride with the moon from Majora's Mask.
What, where you just get closer and closer to it? Yeah. Guess, like the THX. It's THX, isn't it? The audio there.
Yeah.
It just gets louder and it's like, ah!
You're just sort of strapped to a chair and a giant moon face is coming closer. And if you won't leave without weeing your trousers, basically. That's
you
how
have
it works.
To wee your trousers. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't get the prize at the end.
No.
Sounds a bit like that bit from Thor Ragnarok where Thor first arrives on the planet. I don't know. Have you seen Thor Ragnarok?
No.
Oh, man. People will know. He's strapped into his chair and he's sort of going through this Charlie and the Chocolate Factory style introduction to this planet and the Grandmaster. And he goes through this sort of really powerful tunnel of light and it's going, you will meet the Grandmaster in 5. And he starts going, ah! And then it just cuts to him and he's just, it was sort of like an illusion. He's just sat there in a room surrounded by guards.
Okay.
And it's all very, very funny. You should watch Thor Ragnarok. It's great.
Yeah, okay.
But he may have weed himself then.
Okay, well, yeah, definitely.
And he did get a prize.
But urine-soaked trousers and electricity do not mix, so he's got to be careful.
Yeah, that's
with
true.
That lightning. What Nintendo rides would you like to see before we talk about other game franchises?
Well, I didn't read the second part of the question.
No, neither did I.
So I've only got an answer for one, but I feel like it could probably be expanded to its own park, to be honest, mm-hmm. and it may already exist, and that's Pokemon. Pokemons. So
yeah, no, I got it. I was waiting for you.
You know the Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, with the Pikachu. Bless you.
Oh yeah.
You bless me, and I bless you.
Pikachu.
Kerchu. Got a sneeze. Pokemon. I believe this ride could work a bit like them rides. What you get at the theme parks, where you sit in a cart with 4 of your friends, and you've got the little laser guns.
Oh yeah.
Pew-pews, and you shoot the little red targets that come up. And, you know, there's all sorts of themed ones. There's spooky ones. There's like a pirate one that I've been on before.
I think they have them at Universal as well. I've not been, but
right.
Movie themed.
They're definitely at Alton Towers and Drayton Manor and various other places in the UK. Like that, but not that, but that.
But with Pokeballs.
But with Pokemon. And I mean, they'd have to change. Obviously, it couldn't be a gun. You could just hold a Pokeball and you had to like press a button to shoot your laser at the different Pokemans, the animatronics Pokemans that pop out. Maybe there could be a 3D element where you've got to wear glasses.
Oh.
Things happen as you go around this little course. It's like Pokemon Snap, basically.
This sounds great. I was about to say you could do Pokemon Snap just with cameras.
Exactly.
And you get like digital copies of your photos at the end.
Oh, you could do. Yeah. Taking it one step further. Well,
I like this Pokeball idea.
What I thought was at the end, let me see what I've written. I've got a little brief here that I need to pitch. So at the end, depending on which Pokemans you snapped and took photos of, you get a small stuffed toy. Like, you know, maybe sort of 5-6 inches tall. Little stubby stuffed toy. And you get to choose which one you want out of the Pokemon that you captured that day.
That's a great idea.
You only get to go around once, though, because otherwise people will just go around again and again and keep getting... Or maybe you do want people to go around again and again because then they got to get them all, haven't
they? But maybe you have to just pay every time to go in because otherwise it's a difficult business model to...
If you're getting a free toy at the end.
Yeah.
But Pokemon Snap, but IRL, but with the laser shooters.
Yeah.
With the laser guns.
No, I think if you're getting the Pokemon at the end, it should be actual like little Pokemon, like rather than Pokemon Snap, like taking photos. Like, yeah, having a little Pokeball.
Because the laser, it does in the cartoon, the red light comes out, doesn't it?
You just sort of press it on the top. That's really good.
That's my idea.
Good one.
Thank you. I don't know if they'll do that or if that probably already exists somewhere, but I would be very excited to go on that ride and, you know, then have to settle for some weird Gen 4 Pokemon I don't recognize.
Yeah.
Some bin or ice cream or some crap like that.
As for other franchises,
yeah,
I'd like to go to Dragon Shores from Spyro 2.
Ooh.
There's actual rides there that they can, you know, they can do rides based off those, although they're not very good. There's like a little tunnel of love that just goes around in a circle, and there's like a a dunking thing where you throw a ball and a thing falls in the water.
Is this the end game land from Spyro
2? From Spyro 2.
Yeah. Okay.
But you could expand it. So you could call it Dragon Shores and brand it around that. But you could just like do stuff that feels like the flight levels where you go through like rings and like flame butterflies and stuff. So you're just like sitting in a thing that's whizzing around as though you're flying. I don't think you'd get to control it. That sounds very complicated and dangerous. But
I'd like to fly a dragon.
It's the illusion of being on a flight level. And then there's just like all the different mini games from Spyro 2 and 3, you know?
Yeah.
There's that one where you're in the little boat and you're shooting down the ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like other ones as well.
There could be a trampoline park bit where you're Sheila.
Yeah.
And you have to do a forward flip and then stamp down really hard on your little brother.
Yeah.
To get a gem out of his head.
It just controls really badly and you're like, oh, wow, I love playing as Sheila.
This is so realistic.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be fun. I'd go to Spyro Land.
Yeah.
I'd like that. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to move on to a discussion.
Oh wow.
The size of which is...
not small.
It's up for debate, really.
Okay.
I would say it's not small.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that it's big. What do you think?
Let me just see what it says here. Name of the next section is the big discussion.
Oh.
Scarlet!
Peter Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Big discussion time. This comes to us from Philip Reed.
Yeah, it does.
We know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Supermassive Games watched your playthrough of Man of Medan. Oh, so sorry.
I wish.
And realized they need to improve their story if they want to keep the Dark Pictures anthology alive. They have hired the two of you to write an installment from scratch. What is your anthology game? The only guidelines Supermassive have given you is that it's scary and that it comes together beautifully. Is it Mr. Austin? Is that Mr.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Mr. Austin.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. I'm Mr. I am Supermassive.
Oh, good. Is Mr. Games here?
No.
Oh.
It's just me. Just super. I am Susan Perkins Massive.
Yeah.
Sue
Perkins.
Sue Perkins.
Off of the Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
Okay.
That's me. Sue Perkins Massive.
Do you have the authority to green light a game without Mr. Games?
Yes.
Or Mrs. Games?
Absolutely. Okay. You can just try and stop me, quite frankly. Welcome along. Watched your playthrough.
Thanks.
Hard not to take it personally at some stages. You did
just make a better game, mate.
That's fair. Well, that's why we brought you in.
Okay.
We understand you've obviously, as a smart-mouthed internet idiot, have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
A lot of ways that we could improve for the next...
Well, I've got one idea.
You've got an idea.
I brought the idea.
You've got an idea that we could improve the Dark Pictures anthology as we go.
Yeah.
So I've got just a few questions for you.
Okay.
About your idea. Let's sort of just try and flesh it out. We'll run through the location, the characters, what kind of antagonist or evil force we can expect to go up against, a sort of vague plot outline, and of course the title for the Dark Pictures anthology game that you are pitching to us today. Peter, without further ado, can you talk me through the location of your pitched game idea?
Absolutely. The game takes place in a... Let me just give you my reasoning here before I tell you.
Okay.
You don't want to start these things in a very blatantly haunted house or a spooky place. That's partly where you're going wrong.
Okay.
I mean, admittedly, Man of Medan did just start on a nice boat.
It was on a nice boat, wasn't it?
It was on a nice boat.
Did you like all the nice characters we made?
Oh, I loved them.
All
we'll
the
get
very
onto
relatable
characters.
Nice characters.
We'll get onto characters shortly, I'm sure. But my point is the genre in general, you know, the likes of the other spooky games, you know, Until Dawn and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I loved Until Dawn.
Yeah,
that was one of our good ones.
Well, yeah.
Did you like Hidden Agenda?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, I did.
I bet you played it loads, didn't you?
Yeah.
Lots of people played it loads. Yeah, yeah.
Those two games, you know, they're a bit more inherently spooky from the get-go, aren't they?
Yes.
I think you should subvert expectations. That's one thing you did right in Man of Medan.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're starting in a luxury spa, all inclusive.
That sounds expensive to make.
It is.
Oh, no, I forgot. We're making a game, aren't we? We're not actually doing a film.
You've got to spend money to make money.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what it says on our front door.
Yeah.
Spend money. the other doors, yeah. We're getting the other door replaced. That is sort of the slogan split across both of them, and the other one is
spend money on the other door.
It's not ready yet. We're just spending money.
It's a luxury spa. It's a really nice place. Very plush, clean. You know, it's like a 6-star hotel.
That's a lot of stores.
It is a lot, yeah. You know, you wander in there as a group of characters, and you think, oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm picturing it.
Yeah,
that's nice. Is it clean?
Very, very clean.
A lot of stars as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like physical twinkle, twinkle stars.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Okay.
You can't really, you can almost not see very well because it's so bright and sparkly.
We like to do that. We go from extremes in our games. They're either quiet or they're loud. They're either bright or they're impossible to see.
Yeah.
So that sounds right up our alley.
Mm-hmm.
Please carry on.
Characters.
Yeah.
Moving on to I mean, that's the location. That's it. It's in a luxury spa. That's all you need to know.
I'm very excited
There's
to
lots
learn.
Of, you know, things available to you. There's like a swimming pool and a steam room and a...
Great.
You know, you get
and you just go around and enjoy this, do you?
Well, so that's the thing. You start going around and enjoying it. Actually, there's only one character in the game who is there as a customer of this spa.
Okay.
It's a sort of... heavy set man who's a bit sort of hunchback. He's a bit quasi-modish.
Okay.
All the other characters are just members of staff at the spa.
Right. And you play as all of these characters?
Yeah, you know, like in your other games, you know, you flip between them.
Are there any NPCs involved or is it just these characters?
There's a few sort of background, other customers milling around, other people staying at the spa hotel.
Okay.
But all the staff members, despite all wearing nice, clean, clinical, white, I work in a spa uniforms, they still massively conform to stereotypes.
Right.
So there's the jock masseuse and there's the cheerleader masseuse. Okay. And there's the nerdy masseuse.
Yeah.
You know, they all hate each other. I think that's a great part of your game.
What, that nobody likes each other?
That nobody likes each other and that we don't like any of the characters.
Yeah.
They're all absolute assholes.
That's what the... that's also part of
our
slogan.
That's what the other door says.
That's what it says. Spend. You got to spend money and make characters assholes.
Make assholes,
yeah. That's what it says.
So, you know, and there's just little hints of, you know... The cheerleader masseuse, she's got her white like top on, but she just carries pom poms around.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make it obvious.
Good. Of course. Well, how else are you meant to know?
Idiots who play your games.
How else are you meant to know?
Yeah.
You've got to signpost it. If anything, I think she should do a whole cheerleading routine out in the car park at the beginning of the game.
Well, yeah.
Just so you know.
I agree.
And then we don't need to pay for another location because she's doing it there.
We've got a similar vision here and I'm liking it.
Yeah, no, you we're
know,
lining
the,
up.
The jock guy wearing his white smock, but it's got a number on the shoulder, you know, one of those.
Maybe he wears shoulder pads as well
because
he does the American footballs.
Helmet thing.
Yeah.
The nerd. Big pair of glasses.
Yeah.
A little like pocket protector for his pens.
Can he be a little bit sort of weedier than the others as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got acne.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the good stuff.
He talks like this.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You are saying all the right words right now.
Yeah. But things aren't going to go swimmingly.
Tell me about this antagonist / evil force. What are they up against?
They're up against the Hunchback Man.
No.
Now, we're not disparaging people who have deformities.
Oh, we don't mind.
Well, we're not.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, I'm not selling you my idea.
Your vision, whatever.
Yeah.
Fine.
But in he comes, and, you know, he otherwise seems like a very nice fella, you know? He goes up to his hotel room, he enjoys a bit of room service, watches telly, he's having a great time. But then... he books himself in for a massage.
Right. Now this, we're not making a comedy game, Peter.
No.
We're not making a comedy game.
No.
Is that where you're going with this?
No.
Or did you take it off and everyone's horrified? Like, where are we going?
No.
How can we make this as awful as possible is what I'm asking.
Are you saying how can we have it so that the man with the hunchback goes for a back massage and it's not sort of a bit offensive?
That's exactly what I, Sue Perkins Massive, am asking you right
okay,
now.
Don't worry. It's not quite worried. Going the way you think it's going.
I'm not worried.
He goes downstairs to reception to book himself in for a massage. He says, hi, I'm from room, you know, 12. My name is Barry Barry Back is his name. His name is Barry Back.
Fantastic. Like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, okay, yeah, book you in, Mr. B. Back. He then goes to the massage area.
That is what they call it in spas.
The massage area. And all of our cast are there. For some reason, it takes like six people to give a massage.
That's fair.
To any given customer.
Well, it's a lot of back, isn't it?
Well, but is it? Is it, Mr. Susan Perkins Massive?
Susan Perkins Massive, that's me.
So you're then thinking, oh, is this going to be a really lame gag where he takes off his shirt and then because he's got a hunchback and there's more back, they need six people and that's the end of the game? No.
No.
He takes off his shirt,
yeah,
and you realise all along he's not a hunchback.
No.
He's got a regular back.
What?
But
yeah,
Mr. B Back under his shirt just has a massive beehive.
No, he's got a bee back.
On the back of his back.
Oh my word.
The room fills with bees.
Yeah.
And the entire rest of the game is mostly just people being stung to death.
Fantastic. So it's sort of like a Resident Evil 2 Mr. X kind of situation where the bees are always following you around.
Yeah.
You just hear and it just gets louder and louder.
So it's nothing to do with, haha, let's look at the man who, you know, was unfortunately born with a physical ailment.
Right.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
Well, I mean, he's got a beehive on his back.
Yeah, but I think he, like, had it added in. I think he, like, asked for it.
Maybe it's maybe lean.
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe he's born with
maybe
it.
Maybe he wasn't born with it.
Maybe it's maybe lean.
Yeah.
Maybe lean. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. And that's it. They just get shut in this room.
Yeah.
Loads of bees come out of his back. It's called Dark Pictures Anthology, I'll Be Back.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think we can get working on that immediately. Thank you for coming by. I'll get the guys over in the art department.
I thought you were saying thank you for coming by. Like really like pushing me out the door there.
You're having a real issue understanding the use of the word "bye" today, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
thank you for coming along to this meeting.
Yeah.
I'll have a word with the art department. We'll get some sketches drawn up of B-Back.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Barry Back.
Barry B. Mr. B-Back.
You've got cheerleader. You've got nerd boy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got jockman.
Yeah.
And receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the characters.
That's them.
Fantastic. Okay. Look forward to playtesting that later on. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much. Meanwhile, in the next room.
The Legion of Doom.
Hi there, Ben. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Hi. My name is James. G-A-M-E-S. James. My name is
just James. Like, yep. Share.
Yep. That's me, James. I'm part of the Susan Perkins Massive James.
Of course.
Conglomerate.
No, that makes sense.
Sorry that Sue Perkins Massive couldn't be here today.
That's okay.
She's not available.
That's all right. I'm honestly honoured to have been brought along. I've got an idea that I think is going to make us all a lot of money.
Well, we hope so. We know that you saw our previous game, Man of Medan, and thought it was Man of Macrap.
I did. Those are the words I said as well.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll be able to give us a better idea.
Yeah.
And we'll be successful.
Yeah.
Did you just 100%. Say yeah in my voice there?
No, but I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I wasn't taking the mick out of you.
Okay, good.
I'm just trying to make you feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like-minded.
Okay.
Okay, so what I'll talk to you about today is the location, the characters, the antagonist, a sort of vague plot, and a name for a game that you want to pitch to us.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm ready.
Hit me with location, Ben.
We are going, James,
yep,
to space.
Mm.
We're going to space.
Fantastic.
I feel like Earth has played out. We've done it. Haunted house, haunted spa.
They were all on Earth.
All on Earth.
Haunted spa, what are you talking about?
Nothing. It doesn't matter. I just sort of, I was chatting to someone in the lobby before I came.
Oh, I see.
I think space is a good opportunity for big frightens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the game should be set in space, sort of on a space station or maybe on a colony.
Oh, yes.
Like
yes.
A moon colony.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay.
Where it's just a group of unlikable people all together
brilliant.
Space. Yeah, I know. You go wild for that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know?
I actually have here on my notes, if Mr. Potter brings likable characters, do not
shoot him.
Accept.
Shoot him. Hang on, does that say shoot him in the face?
No.
No?
It's shorthand.
Right, for
do not
shoot
accept.
Him in an email that says no.
Yes.
But don't say it to his face.
Yes.
That's what it says. Understandable.
Well, I like the idea of space. You know what they say?
Mm.
No one can hear you be murdered when you're in outer space.
That is the line. Yeah, no. See, that's why I thought it would be good. Would you like some characters?
Yeah, make them horrible, please.
Oh, they are. Mm-hmm. Let's see if you can guess their personalities from their names.
Okay.
Are you ready? Mm-hmm. We've got Chad Astronaut.
Chad Astronaut is a big, bulky man.
Yeah.
Who gets all of the women's.
Well, speaking of the women's, we've also got Clarissa Spaceman or Woman.
Clarissa Spaceman or Woman is a man or woman.
Yeah.
Who is pretty.
Yeah.
A bit. I can actually say bitch.
Yes.
I think.
Well, I mean, James, the executive, can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably having regular space intercourse with Chad.
I think you're bang on the money there.
Great.
Then we've also got Kyle Star Trek.
Kyle, maybe the somewhat relatable character,
yep.
But still a bit of an arsehole.
Right. You're bang on the money so far. That's what I've got written down here.
Yeah.
Somewhat relatable character, bit of an arsehole.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. And finally, it's just Emily from Until Dawn.
Right.
Is that going to be an issue? Because I know that she is established and canon. I don't know if there is a canon ending to Until Dawn, so she may well have, you know, be dead in lots of people's games.
Yes. I believe what we can do
is
have a sort of thing that checks your console for saves.
That's a good idea.
And if she's dead in Until Dawn, she will be alive in this game. Just because we like to confuse people.
No, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And also, she was objectively... She was the worst character, wasn't she?
Mm.
She was the worst one.
No question.
In fact, I can see you've got a poster up there on the wall that says, be like Emily, make no friends.
Yeah, that's actually only half the poster.
Oh, okay. What's the other half?
Be like Emily.
Yeah.
Make no friends like you for very long.
Okay. Sort of a similar message.
Those last words aren't actually required, but we're tempted to not actually get the second half back.
Right, you just want to make no friends. Because if you're making no friends, if you're making friends that you then can't keep,
you're
then
cutting
it's
out the middleman.
Wasted
of
exercise, isn't it? Yeah. You are exactly cutting out the middleman of Medan. Mm. So Emily from Until Dawn, Kyle Star Trek, Clarissa Space Man or Woman, and Chad Astronaut are my characters. In terms of an antagonist or an evil force they're up against,
yeah,
Space Madness.
Right. As in the band, It Must Be Love? Our House?
No.
Oh.
No. This is Space Madness, as in insanity.
Right.
You know? Space Madness or insanity. I mean, it could be the band, but in space, no one can hear them play in space, can
Noah,
they?
Well, no.
Because they'll sort of be screaming out for oxygen and there'll be none for them.
Mm.
Say, our colony in the...
And yeah, it could be a problem, yeah.
It could. And also licensing issues and so on. Obviously, you own Emily from Until Dawn, so you could do whatever you wanted with that. However, the band The Madness, I don't think that's a possibility. So the antagonist is Space Madness and a lack of oxygen.
Right. That's a good antagonist.
Yeah.
It's a fairly universal fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you want to know about the plot?
Hit me with a plot, Ben.
Chad Astronaut takes the last biscuit and plunges the entire space...
Hang on, we can only have a game that's 18 plus, and that sounds too extreme.
Chad Astronaut... What's
about...
above 18 plus?
Triple X.
Okay. Chad Astronaut leaves the tap running.
Okay.
Chad Astronaut
borrows
Kyle Star Trek's saucepan and doesn't wash it up and doesn't ask in the first place.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah? That's about 18.
Okay. Yeah. And that's also very in line with Chad's behavior as well.
Sure.
It plunges the station into chaos.
Yeah, well, I can see why.
And despite the fact that you are playing as all four characters here and there's nobody else on the station apart from maybe a quirky AI, I'm not sure yet. We can work that out later.
Yeah.
They start to go mad. they start to be paranoid because they all fall out and things, little things start going wrong on the space station. You know, things get left open. Oxygen is drained from rooms. Gravity is turned off for some reason. And they think that it's someone who's annoyed with them getting their own back. Dave Benson Phillips is in it as well, briefly. He just sort of, he's dead. He sort of, he floats up and just bounces limply off an exterior window and then spirals off into space.
And says, ah ha ha, it was me all along.
That's
but you
it.
Can't hear him say
you
it.
You can't hear him say it. You can see him, you can see his mouth moving, but that's it.
I can confirm we can get Dave Benson.
We get Dave's available.
That's a very, very cheap license.
Also, we don't have to pay him, we just have to write big love to Dave Benson Phillips.
Yeah, well, the Nando's down the road, so...
Oh, well, that's easy. We'll just treat him to a lunch and a dishwasher. So that's basically it. They all think that they're going mad, when really it's just a technological fault. And as a result, you, the player, it's presented to the player that, you know, maybe Chad Astronaut has been up to no good and is trying to take down Kyle Star Trek, and Clarissa Space Manor Woman is also worried. Mm-hmm. Emily's running around being a massive, naughty, rude woman to everyone. And you as the player, it's presented to you that they're actively doing dangerous things to get back at one another, but actually it's just a technological fault. And you have to make a decision whether or not you want to actually take out your fellow humans because they're a perceived threat to the colony, when really... you're all just paranoid and have succumbed to space madness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Case of mass hysteria.
Exactly. Would you like to know the name of this game?
Yeah, but it'd be good.
It's called Dark Pictures Anthology Star Wars.
Right. Again.
Hi, sorry, James. It's me, Susan Perkins Massive.
Hi, Super.
Sorry to interrupt your meeting here. Yes. I've just had a very promising chat with Peter Austin next door. He's got the Dark Pictures Anthology I'll be back. I think it's really got legs. Just wanted to check in quickly. I know you've got someone there. I'm going to completely ignore them because I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's okay. I really don't have time. I just wanted to see quickly what
you're going
to
be long. I'm my tea's getting cold in here.
Okay, hang on a minute. I'm just sorry. James, can you please let me know what you think of this this game quickly that you're discussing, because we've got corporate. We need to go. We got to go back and talk to the board and
sure.
Okay, what we want to do.
Well, it's called Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's about... like,
do you want me to go or should I... No, you stay there.
Can you... Yeah.
You just stay there.
It's called Star Wars. That's all you need to know.
Right.
I think we can do that.
I really
it's a good name.
I like that name.
Yeah.
I also, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Is a phrase... Sorry?
Yeah.
Is a phrase that I've never heard before from any fiction... And I think that would also go down really well with consumers.
I think what we've learned today is that in order for the Dark Pictures Anthology games to be good going forward is to... I mean, going into this meeting, I was thinking, maybe we're going to have to start ripping off successful franchises.
Right.
But I think what we've learned today is there are plenty of good ideas out there.
There's lots of great ideas that have not been done before.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt your meeting. I'm Sue Perkins Massive, James.
James.
And I'll go conclude my meeting. Sorry to interrupt.
Right, thank
sorry,
you. No worries.
Yeah. So you going to email me or shoot me in the face or what's going to happen?
We'll get back to you.
Okay.
Got to make sure that we can get Dave. I believe we can. It's not going to be an issue.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for seeing me today. I appreciate it.
No, no problem.
Hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Bye.
Ben?
Yeah?
How did it go?
Oh, hi, Peter. Hi. Yeah, it was weird that they scheduled the meeting at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you found Sue Perkins Massive.
Mm-hmm.
She just poked her head into my room with her big Pope hat on.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a bit rude, isn't it?
Well... I mean, it worked out for me because I went through her underwear drawer while she was in the other room.
Whoa, yeah. That's inappropriate.
I know, but what are you going to do? No one's going to know. It's not like we're on a podcast going out to thousands of people right now.
So. Nah, no one will know. Did you like? Did you have a good meeting? Do you think it'll go well? Do you reckon you will make it?
Yeah, sounds
fantastic.
I think it's going to go well.
Well, look forward to Dark Pictures Anthology Star Wars and Dark Pictures Anthology I'll Be Back coming soon in the Dark Pictures Anthology series from Sue Perkins Massive James.
Yep.
Peter.
Yes.
It's time to talk about where people can find us if they want to get in touch with us.
If people still want to actually find us and get in touch after that pantomime there, featuring Dave Benson Phillips, as all good pantos do.
Naturally.
They can find all of our content on youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump, as well as doing videos on the YouTubes. We also do streams there and on Twitch, and they're modded by Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Facebook is looked after by our sock med man, it says here, Luke Alden.
Luke Alden.
Doing a great job over there, as always. We've got a Patreon, as we mentioned earlier. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There's a $1 tier for submitting questions here. And there's a Discord room, special Discord room you can get into on the $1 tier. That's Patreon.com. No, it's just bit.ly/TeamTripleJump.
Yes.
Is our Discord, is what I meant to say, a Discord room. That's modded over there by Jack, Joe, and Crimson Dragonfly.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Patreon, there are other tiers too, with different rewards.
There certainly are.
The podcast that you're listening to right now on YouTube, maybe, is also available on play.acast.com/s/TripleJump, where you get the little ad in the middle that goes
Diddle-dum.
Like that. The website is triplej.mup. That's J-U.M-P. And Ben's going to tell you all about our content and also our personal social media accounts.
Social media accounts. Yeah, I will. Before I do, I will say quickly, I saw a comment underneath a podcast on YouTube, another podcast that we do for that matter, where they said, I suppose you want us to watch it on YouTube, but providing a download link would be helpful. It's like, you idiot. You moron. Because while Peter said that you can get the audio version of the podcast at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump, it's obviously available anywhere. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, your CD collection. Have a look, it's in there.
Cassette.
It's everywhere. It should go without saying, but that level of stupidity that I observed earlier this week has led me to believe that actually, no, we should point out that you can get the audio version in other places as well.
Right.
I get that you're trying to make us watch the YouTube video, but a download link would be helpful. Oh, God, that attitude does things to my brain that makes me want to hurt animals.
Oh, no.
Which I won't, because I'm coping with it in a healthy way. But you can get it elsewhere is what we're trying to say. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do at @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude, and on Instagram at @ThatPeterAustin and @BenPotter20. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, Monday and Tuesday being solo streams on Twitch, and Thursday being our joint stream, Blaze It on YouTube. The YouTube streams on Thursday, the joint streams, Blaze It, are uploaded to YouTube the following Monday, so you can watch those. The Monday and Tuesday streams on Twitch stay on Twitch, twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. Just click on the videos tab and it has all the VODs up to 14 days so you can catch up if you aren't able to watch them live. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly and Friday for the $5 tier patrons, Sunday for everybody else, and it's a Worst Games Ever week next week.
Coming up.
Not this week. The podcast is every other Saturday and we do shows as well. I know we've had a bit of a lull recently, but we were hoping for to be able to put something out this week, but sadly it fell through at the last minute. So next week there'll be Worst Games Ever and I believe also a show. And then the following week there should also be a show. Those will all be coming up soon. Leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, please. And we'd like to issue a call to arms.
Yes.
Because we have a couple of sponsored videos, legitimately sponsored videos, coming up soon. It's a game called Vectronome. This is obviously a great opportunity for us, and it helps to secure the future of the channel and our jobs by taking on this these sort of paid videos. There will be a quip scope on the game and also a rules boss on the game as well. It's an interesting sort of audio
rhythmy
game,
but also kind of isometric 3D platformer as well, puzzly yeah. thing. It's a weird, interesting looking thing.
It genuinely looks quite interesting. Obviously, these videos will be marked as ads because they are paid for. But we do really, really hope that you will please watch them, even if you may not find the game that interesting. But the most important thing that you can do in the description of the video, there will be a bespoke link. If you can click through that link and just sort of have a look at the page on the other side, that helps immeasurably. Mm. It really, really does, and will help us secure more work like this in the future. And again, you know, it all goes back into the channel and helps us carry on doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And hopefully those videos will be releasing at some point next week.
And, you know, we always want to make sure that if we're going to be doing sponsored content, it's something that we believe in.
Exactly.
And, you know, this looks like an interesting game. You know, hopefully some of you will be up for checking it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sponsored content is something we'd like to continue doing, but it will always be for things that we think are actually worth sharing.
Absolutely.
We're not just going to sell out and start flogging Death Stranding.
And we get to cover it in interesting ways as well. Obviously, we're going to talk about it legitimately in the Quipscope, but then in Rules Boss, we're going to do some kind of silly challenge silly around thing. It as well.
They're actually letting us do that.
Yeah, they're paying us to do that, yeah. which is really exciting. So please watch that when it goes live, two videos, and also please click through the link in each of the videos. That will really, really help us because, you know, they keep track of how many people are looking at it and how many people are sort of clicking through and actually engaging with it. So that stuff is really important. We're being very transparent because we like this level of communication that we have with you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to hide behind a mystery veil of YouTube.
No.
YouTube is bloody difficult, as we have made it very clear over the past few years. So it really help us if you could support us, and also a big thank you to the agency that is helping us sort that out.
Yeah. But finally, onto a frankly far more important sponsor.
A very, very real sponsor.
Yeah. Watch Dogs Guigion, yes. Coming out this year.
This year.
Well, it might be next year, actually, because it's going to take them that long to add all the goo.
Additional development.
If you want to be a gooey pigeon lady, you can do it in B&Q it.
They're not called pigeons in this game.
They're called Guigions.
Yeah.
They are, yeah.
And it's not called B&Q.
It's called B&Goo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And the pigeons, instead of saying cuckoo, they just say goo-goo.
They do say goo-goo.
Like the goo-goo dolls.
Yeah, but instead of the goo-goo dolls, it's the gooigi-gooigi dolls.
Okay. Yeah, of course it is. And here's a really good one.
Yep.
If you play on a Nintendo Switch in the game and play Luigi's Mansion, it's not called Luigi's Mansion, it's called Gooigi's Mansion.
Is it?
That's a pretty good pun that I've just come up with there.
So if you play the in-universe version of Luigi's Mansion in Watch Dogs Guigion, it's called Guigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Within that, is player two then Luigi? Or are you both Guigi? Or is one of you called Guigi Guigi?
I think it might just be like Tiny Tiger from Crash is just in it instead.
Oh, wow. It's really confusing. Just getting meta with it.
Yeah.
This is really it's melting my brain, this
the
one.
End.
That's it.
Thanks.
We're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.